Good morning and welcome to our service, and a special welcome to any visitors worshipping with us this morning. Following the service, tea and coffee will be served in the hall, and you're most welcome to join us. There are a few notices to highlight this morning. Firstly, the Athol Smith concert due to take place this evening has been cancelled due to illness of one of the performers. And you will have also received information about the Deeside Food Festival and the stall that we'd like to run there. If you are able to help, can you give your name to Carol Sinclair as soon as possible? And if there are enough people, it would mean only doing 1 or 2 hours on the stall. And the MBC coffee morning for the leprosy mission raised £900. Thank you to everyone who supported the event and helped to run it on the day. This money will go to a project in India to give young people a trade. I'm pleased to welcome back David McPhee, who is going to lead our worship this morning. David, welcome to Cultskirk.
Thank you. I had a dream, a varied dream, before my ravished sight, the city of my Lord arose with all its love and light. The music of myriad harps flowed out with sweet accord, and saints were casting down their crowns in homage to our Lord. My heart leaped up with untold joy. Life's toil and pain were o'er. My weary feet at last had found the bright and restful shore. Just as I reached the gates of light, ready to enter in, from earth arose a fearful cry of sorrow and sin. I turned and saw behind me surge a wild and stormy sea, and crowning men were reaching out, imploring hands on me. And every lip was blanched with dread and moaning for relief. The music of those golden harps grew fainter for their grief. Let me return, I quickly said. Close to those gates, my work is with these wretched ones, so wretched and desolate. An angel smiled and gently said, this is the gate of life. Wilt thou return to earth's sad scene, its weariness and strife, to comfort hearts that sigh and break, to dry the falling tear? Wilt thou forego the music sweet, entrancing now thy ear? I must return, I firmly said, the strugglers in that sea shall not reach out beseeching hands in vain to help me. I turned to go, but as I turned, the gloomy sea grew bright, and from my heart there seemed to flow 10,000 cords of light. And sin, wretched men with eager hands, did grasp each golden cord, and with my heart I drew them on to see my gracious Lord. Again, I stood beside that gate, my heart was glad and free, and with me stood a rescued throng that the Lord had given to me. A very good morning to you all, and it's indeed a pleasure for me to be among you all again this morning. There's a slight difference to the order of service, where it says in the order of service that we will reflect, then we will pray. We're actually going to pray, reflect, then pray again, but I'll keep you right, don't worry. Almighty God, come fill our hearts with endless love and send the winds of your Spirit to blow new hope throughout our lives. Come light up our soul to rise in faith, to stretch out and take in your kingdom. Come pour out your Spirit among us as we stand together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let us now stand and sing the first hymn, 192. All my hope in God is founded. Reading from Psalm 4, verse 1, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we confess, let us renew our relationship with our Lord and Master and our God. Living God, you invite us to feast on life, where all are made welcome and all are satisfied with good things. We praise you for the abundance of the world that you have created and all that you have provided for us for our every need. We thank you for the gift of food, for the nourishment it brings to our bodies, its crucial role in our health and well-being, for the delight of texture and taste and aroma. We thank you for the wide variety of all that you give us, for the memories and connections that we make throughout times and seasons. Help us not to take our food for granted, nor to waste what we have, and to remember that thanksgiving and all the work for those who produce and serve it for us. We thank you for the gift of company, for fellowship around your table, whether it's in this great family feast or the breaking of bread together in a community of faith through the sharing. Gracious God, we come before you as one. We bow before you with reverence and respect. We know that you are always here, always around us, watching over us and listening to us. Commit to us, our brothers and sisters, and fulfill our endless commitment to us, reaching out to us with that gift of not only of life here, but everlasting life and love and a life eternal. We thank you for all that we have and for that you are our living bread, the very breath that we take. We are grateful that you are there for each of us every day to help us in many, many ways, to show us that your way is the only way, that path lit, the shining light of the radiance of the cross, a symbol of undying, loving peace, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Hear us, Lord, as we come before you. You have cleansed us, for we are sinners. Mould us and shape us that we will fit your needs and be a service to you. You lavish your spirit of kindness upon us. Let us give and never count the cost, and be here for one and all to forward your service this day and every day. Amen. I have written a reflection. I spoke to Andrew, see, I'm good with names this morning. I spoke to Andrew earlier on and I gave him some paperwork for the kids to fill in. I offered them pens, but they said they have pens, and I gave them chocolate fish to eat, to share, Andrew, share. And I hope you enjoy them. They're very yummy, I can assure you. So let us reflect. Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I would like to, for you all, just for a moment, to use your imagination and imagine that passage, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." How do you imagine that? Do you imagine that you'll stand and cast your rod out and maybe catch one and pull it in? Maybe we could get a bit messy with that, but you know. So I'll repeat the following: "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." I suppose we should actually say fishers of people. Or maybe we are the fish swimming around, dare I say, floundering in oceans of life, awaiting to be gathered in. In reality, is that what we need to do? Or are we like John in my last sermon 2 weeks ago, who liked to sort of row about at a more steady pace rather than being like Simon Peter and diving straight in without a care? In retrospect, being shown the way to Christ, and who better than fishermen for their sheer determination to go out and seek fish, or in this case, new disciples to follow Christ? And where do we find these people? We find them in everyday life within our community, outside these walls. Let us join together now in the prayer that our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, taught us to say, now reading from the King James Version. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we sing again from the church hymn 340, When Jesus Saw the Fishermen. Scripture sentence today is from Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O hear my voice, let my ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. And we sing again. Number 691, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
remember not to step off. I'd nearly done last time I was here. Because I tend to get relaxed and walk backwards, but never mind. You're a clatter, don't worry. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today I will read a small portion at the beginning from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he calls out to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And as they say, the rest is history, and we could just leave it there, wrap it up, I'll go home. But it's not what we're here for, is it? We are here for us to listen to the Word of God and to reflect on all that goes on around us within our faith in everyday life. This man is Jesus. He is the Messiah, a man who people have followed as he wandered in and around the Holy Land. Why then does he decide he needs human beings to fish for people? Because Christ is leaving us and needs people to follow on and spread the good news to all. My sense is that he called people to fish for people because human beings, Jesus being human himself, Jesus knew the human heart could not sustain faith on miracles alone. In this, his judgment would be borne out time and time again as Jesus explained the resurrection and they still did not understand. Jesus tells parables and stories, but it was to explain them again and again because the disciples really never got it. Yet somehow, in their falterings and failings, this group of people go on to spread the good news about Jesus Christ throughout the then ancient world in acts of courage, faith, personal loss, which inspire even us today. Yes, they were inspired by Jesus. Yes, they were sustained and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. But yes, they were also inspired, supported, strengthened by the faith of their fellow believers. Those who saw the resurrected Christ and doubted the evidence with their own eyes. Yet they still responded to his instruction, "Go and make disciples." And they did what Jesus commanded. They answered their call, but they did so together. As we consider what it means to follow Christ, this is an important point to bear in mind, that we are called to follow Jesus together. Each of us have a purpose, but all of us need to carry out God's purpose. People need other people for support. They need other people to sustain their lives, particularly when they are called to a life of hardship and sacrifice. Life is not always, you know, on the easy plane. They need others to support them in times of doubt and crisis. And Jesus called people together because he knew that. In his wisdom, he saw the model of how we are called to live as his followers. We are called to live in communities of faith, to work together, and to fish for people. We cannot do it alone. We need Jesus. We need others. We also need to follow Jesus and go and make disciples and to tell others of what following Christ means to us and how following Christ has transformed us and has made us fishers of people. Reading from the New International Version, from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. "Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." I have chosen my text for today's address from the reading from Matthew's Gospel, which is a familiar account to the calling of his disciples, with Christ saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we all know, that passage starts with Christ's short ministry. Something happened to me a few years ago that would make it all more relevant when I was looking for inspiration for this address this morning. Some time ago, I had friends from India who had come to the island where I come from. I come from, as some of you will already know, I come from Rothesay in the island of Bute, where I had lived for 52 years up until the end of last October, until my wife and I moved to Aberdeenshire. And we toured around that day looking at many sites of interest on the island and ended up with a visit to the local museum, the Bute Museum in Stuart Street in Rothesay. Had had an exhibit of many points of island life, featuring an exhibit on fishing and showing large fleets that once were home to our little town. Sadly, dwindled now to only a handful of boats, but looking at some of the pictures, they showed an island life steeped in a maritime history. Sadly, there's always a story in the news of a disaster at sea, a boat lost, a crew missing, people waiting at home for news of hope, which brings home the fact of just how hazardous sea fishing is and has the highest recorded death rate and accident rate. But it takes a special breed of person to go out and get the fish. With that thought in mind, it becomes clear in why Jesus chose a group of fishermen to be his first disciples. We may think that the fishermen of the Galilee have it easy life compared to those who fish our waters, but unfortunately, I'm sorry to have to tell you, we couldn't be more wrong. The men who went out there in Jesus' time, and still do today, are faced with the same hazards as people leave our ports today for the Galilee itself. As a narrow waterway with very gusty winds, often causing squalls and choppy seas, which can easily overturn the boats they use. But let us remember about Christ's calming of the waves when it was a graphical account of one of those sudden squalls. Upmost in Jesus' mind as he embarked upon his mission was the need for disciples, for followers, for who would not give up or abandon the venture at the first hurdle. Who better than fishermen? Despite their losses at sea, they continue to go out much the same way as our own fleet. Who, despite losses, it doesn't stop them, often sailing in a few days, the task of fishing has to go on. And to let us think of the process of fishing itself. The congregation which I originally belong to have many people connected to that industry and the maritime trade. I often think that it would be interesting to listen to first-hand accounts of that hazardous profession and how these people accept heavy seas as a fact of life, how often little is recovered for all their effort, regardless that they keep at it day in and day out. So, Christ chose his fishermen for their sheer determination to continue on even in the face of all overwhelming odds, for their ability at learning and judging where the best catches were to be found on any day. And all we know from Scripture is that they were successful in their task time and time again during and after Christ's ministry. There are accounts of many being brought to this new faith of the followers of the Christ through the actions of these men who set out on different fishing trips and their roles as fisher of people. It was a new, challenging, and I'm sure it had its exciting moments. And all they were doing was fishing in different fishing grounds for a different catch, for souls spelt with a U instead of an L-E. But a lot of that time, and all they were doing was bringing people to Christ. It's not to change society or culture. The task was simple. Go out and spread the good news of Christ the Messiah, who was here to save them from themselves and their allegiance to follow him, to walk in his footsteps. And that is what is expected of us today in this modern age, for we are Christ fishermen of this time and age, and perseverance is our task. In theology, it is read, it is in a continuance and a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. For we are the church. Maybe we're casting our nets in the wrong places. Maybe we should learn from the fishermen and continue to go out day after day, even one day we catch little, and always remember that a mickle makes a muckle. Maybe we have a tendency to things that life goes on and everything in the garden is rosy. We just do the same thing day in, day out. I think that we have to look beyond the rose-tinted view. There's no point in having a fishing boat tied to a harbour wall, all gleaming and shiny, newly painted with all the latest gear and gadgets, because in reality, it serves no purpose whatsoever, rather than good to look at. It would look better if it was rusting and tired-looking, that it had served well in the task set before it. Our world has been many times over the centuries plunged into the darkest abyss. War torn, natural disaster, great loss of life, and in our darkest moments, countries taken over by despots. The oppressors, their list is many. People turning their backs on God and living in the shadows. I think for a moment of St. Paul, who was taken prisoner to Rome. He was caught in a violent storm, and it was so bad that Luke recorded he finally gave up all hope of being saved. From Acts chapter 27, then one bleak morning, Paul came out and said, "Take heart, not one of you will lose your life, only the ship will be lost. For last night the angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship came to me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You stand before the emperor, and God is in his goodness to you has spared the lives of all those who are sailing with you. So take heart, for I trust in God that all will be just as I have said.'" Paul was trusting in God to whom I belong, to whom I worship. And all of us can take heart, and all of us will be saved. But we too must have the courage of our convictions. A family were on holiday in a small, remote cottage in the Highlands. There was no electricity, no running water, the only gas was from the camping stove. And at bedtime, the young daughter was extremely brave, going upstairs with her mother by the light of a candle only. There was a puff of wind, and the candle blew out. Leaving them in total darkness, the little girl was afraid. She clung to her mother. "I'll go back downstairs to get the matches," said Mum. "Don't be afraid. Jesus is here with you." "But Mum," replied the daughter, "can't you stay here and we'll send Jesus for the matches?" And honestly, it doesn't quite work like that. We are called to live by faith and not by fear. Living by faith means that while we may not know the details of life, we can be sure of the outcome. We can live by faith, for we know that God has promised to be with us. His grace is going to be enough for us. His word will guide us. The Spirit will be within us in an enabling power, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. A bright, a shining light, warming, loving, caring, a light that will never go out. And what is the answer? As we are the church, whenever we meet, we recharge our batteries with the fellowship that we find, that we receive, to get guidance for the next step. But maybe taking the next step is we have to do is like the fishermen who patched their nets and their holes in their nets. And they should never forget that Christ Church is out there. It's out there in our community when we have to take it there daily, every day, or our lives constantly developing our techniques until we're good at it. And there again, Jesus himself constantly gave the lead, telling the disciples where to cast their nets. When the fishing was poor, surprisingly, that is the difficult bit. The easy bit is the message that we have to carry on our fishing trips. Yet it's amazing how many find it easier the other way around. As followers of the Christ, we are charged by proclaiming the good news of his gospel to all. A gospel that tells that God walked to earth in Christ and perhaps the greatest reconciliation ever witnessed. He came among us to save us for our sins and surrounded every generation since, loving us without exception, urging us to turn around, called repentance, and carefully follow his footsteps, which in effect is the vital change within ourselves, then go out and show others the benefits of doing likewise. The Good Samaritan effect is an automatic follow-on. Maybe taking the first step is not the hardest bit. Maybe it's coming to terms of the simple message of Christ and his love for us all, without exception. Knowing that wherever we are, he is always with us. Let's take a moment to think of the Isaiah prophecy when God said to his servant, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold my righteous right hand," as God was with his servant Isaiah. So the same God and Jesus Christ will go constantly with each one of us wherever our fishing trips take us, showing us that we are the church. And here, as we always are, at the front line, dare I say the coal face, with open arms to help and guide all, to be there for everyone 24/7, being that shoulder to cry on when life is at its toughest, but also there at times of great celebration. I would almost say that the church is a one-stop shop, and all we have to do is to come forward to Christ and allow him into our lives, bringing him into our hearts, and he will guide us always, this day and every day. Amen. Let us now worship God with the offering. We dedicate this offering to the work of the church. We ask that you use all that we have, Lord, and all that we are in your service, better preserving our faith to your glory. Amen. And we sing again from the church hymnal 509, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult. Now join together in prayer. Our prayer for our presbytery and the prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Merciful God, Almighty Creator, let us glorify your name as we feel your presence all around us and observe your creation of which gives us life. We pray for our fellow Christians here within this, the Presbytery of Aberdeen, throughout our country and the world. We listen to a torn, troubled world all around us, ever hearing the screams of the tormented and those who live in fear in a country divided by religious hate. Teach us to live in harmony with people of all faiths, to show us that your way is the only way, guiding us along that path lit by the radiance of the cross, that we can learn to dance and we can learn to sing, ever hearing sweet music as we rejoice in you and in our faith. Loving and caring Father God, help us to share the good news to all and spreading your message of life. Reach out to us all and give us hope, ever knowing that you are there in the silence. Loving God, caring Father God, lead us to work with the welfare and protection of all young people. May we respect their dignity, that they may flourish in life. Strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy, that in sorrow, that we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal as we stand before your cross. O God of compassion, your love for humanity was revealed in Jesus Christ, whose earthly life began in the poverty of the stable and ended in the pain and isolation of the cross. We hold before you those who are homeless and those who are cold. Draw them near and comfort them in spirit, and bless those who work to provide them with shelter. Loving and caring Father God, embrace us with your love. Give us hope in our confusion and grace for us to go on in a new life through you. Let us pray for all who suffer as a result of conflict. for those who live in fear and pray in secret, living in places divided by religious and racial hate. Reach out to these people, Father, and hold them near to you and grant them your peace through Jesus Christ, that when they go from this sanctuary and into the world, may they seek the risen Christ in each other and in all creation. May God give us joyful courage to follow Jesus Christ this day and every day. Amen. Let us sing again in the closing hymn 737, Will Your Anchor Hold? Peace, and may the love of the living Christ be with us all this day and every day.